Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall.
How are you? I can't see you today. Oh, there you are.
There I am. I'm here. Looking through all my notes here.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. It is another day at He Just Loves the Hallmark Channel. As you can hear, my voice is a little different. I actually was battling a summer cold, so I lost my voice over the weekend.
You're a little hoarse.
Yes, I sound like Froggy from The Little Rascals.
Right.
And we've got to shoot through this because I have a flight to catch tonight. I am headed to do my show, Walking While Black in Moscow, at the Port Fringe in Portland, Maine.
All right.
So I actually take a red eye out tonight. So we have got to kind of plow through our favorite dog-loving hunk and his bride, Mr. Darcy.
Yes, we do.
Because tonight we are all marrying Mr. Darcy.
Marrying Mr. Darcy.
Yeah.
Now, I think I can sue you because you forced me to watch this Unleashing Mr. Darcy, and it was completely unnecessary. I did not have to see this. I could sue you. I'm going to call. I'm going to see if a lawyer. Yeah, well, I could sue the Hallmark Channel, but I think I have a better case of suing you.
Okay, you're not going to get much. I mean, you could sue me. Well, maybe I shouldn't get much at all. But go ahead. If you need to, please go right ahead.
Well, I might sue the Hallmark. I might sue.
So, it'll
be unnecessary to watch Unleashing Mr. Darcy.
That's not showing the spirit of Christmas, suing the Hallmark Channel.
All right, I won't sue anybody. I was just making a point.
Okay, so now it's marrying Mr. Darcy. Everyone's back. Jenna, Aunt Violet, Linus the manservant.
Yeah. Blitz. Oh, he was back too?
Yes, did I see? Briefly.
Linus? Okay, yeah, I miss him.
Zara, okay. Blitz the dog, Jax the dog. We're all back.
I think Zara's played by a different actress though this time. Isn't that right?
Oh, I thought she just got a little older.
Okay, maybe. I think I read.
I just thought puberty hit.
Okay. I thought that I read somewhere that she was played by a different actress.
Maybe.
Other than that,
right.
I wouldn't.
You could be right.
I wouldn't have known. I would have known.
Yeah, you could.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's get started. Would you like to start us off?
Well, let's see. I lost my first little piece of the movie. This was the first time I actually watched a Hallmark film first run.
See?
I saw it while I was on, and there. See,
we're moving up in the world.
Experience, yeah. So I saw kind of advertising. There's a lot of cat commercials. Hallmark viewers own cats.
Yes.
So I learned that. Well, we begin. I the first 5 minutes. I have my notes somewhere else, but I believe we begin in New York City.
Yes.
And the first thing I have is that troubled woman shows up, but I think that's her name is Jocelyn, but in Unleashing Mr. Darcy. Oh, yes. Jocelyn, somebody else. It's from a book I'm reading. Gabriella, yes, she's a troubled woman. I had established that was established in Unleashing Mr. Darcy.
Right. Well, I like her. I like Gabrielle.
I don't. I find her long-faced, untrusting.
And so you still find her interesting, this movie.
Well, she didn't have much to do in this movie. She really didn't. She was just kind of there.
Right.
She didn't really have much to do.
Now, did you see the part where Lizzie goes into the bakery and the bakers, like, they love her, like she's popular in the bakery, and they give her desserts and they talk about, hey, Lizzie, how's the job search going? Did you see that part?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, and I noticed that these were black actors,
yes.
And they cast black actors in this movie in sort of the Well, we call them the utility roles, perhaps. It was like you see later on in the movie, the she's interviewing for a job, and the employed and actor of the black persuasion.
Right.
And there's also, I think there's a designer
yes.
also. So.
Yes.
So that's good. So they're making progress in the world of Mr. Darcy.
Yes.
I like it.
And then I have here, so then we see Mr. Darcy. He's hotter than ever, tastier yeah. than ever, and he's with hotter the than dogs.
He's hotter than he was in Unleashing?
Yes. He's had time to marinate a little bit.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And
okay, good. Yeah, the bakers happen, and then it looks like the there might be a couple other little things that happen right at the beginning. But they decide they start planning their wedding.
Yes. Yes. And then, you know, I have here, she calls her mom and Jenna. And I have Jenna's hair is fabulous.
Yay.
Okay.
We're back.
So I left off by saying, so now that Mr. Darcy has proposed, Lizzie calls Mom and Jenna, and I have Jenna's hair is fabulous.
Wow. I do not have that. I didn't notice. I made no observations of people's hair.
Yes. Jenna's hair is longer. It's flowing. It's fabulous. And everybody okay. is happy that they're getting married. But then we find out that Lizzie and Darcy are in a fight with Aunt Violet.
Yes, that's right.
It turned out Aunt Violet was trying to break them up, which, you know, I expect nothing less from Aunt Violet. But Aunt Violet...
Okay, well that... Yeah.
You know, she was trying to break them up.
That was in the first movie.
Yeah. But then I guess Donovan, like, just banished her. But then...
Yeah, well, they had a falling out, sir. Yeah.
Right, yeah. But early on, they get this out of the way. Donovan goes to see Aunt Violet. Aunt Violet apologizes. He forgives her, and we're all good.
Yeah, she's not thrilled, though. When he tells Aunt Violet who he's marrying, she gets that look on her, that really displeased look on her face, a look right. of constipation, almost. It's a... She said, this is sudden.
Exactly. But
so you know what that means.
I know exactly what that means. But Aunt Violet, being no dummy, realizes, you know what? I can't beat him, so I might as well join him. So she apologizes to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth accepts, and we're all good. Now, I got to tell
you. And Gabrielle is there. She's just there. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know. Elizabeth did not come off. I'm not a big Elizabeth fan this movie.
Okay. I'm not either. But I wasn't in the other movie either.
See, I liked her in the other. Well, like in the other movie, she was kind of surly. This movie, I think she's kind of a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, I can tell you the whole story of the movie right here. She wants a small wedding. He wants a big wedding. And there you have it.
But she's kind
Did
of
I
jerky.
Ruin the movie?
She's kind of jerky about it, though.
Yeah. 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 She won't move. There's no movement from her.
Yeah. No.
A lack of compromise is going on here.
And he's all about, like, he's very willing to compromise.
You know, Mr. Darcy does his, there's a character progression from him, from the first movie. Because he's nicer now. He's more accommodating, I think.
Right. And he's cuter. If that's possible.
He looks the same to me, but okay.
Okay, so we're at Darcy Enterprises.
Yes.
Hank, the bestie, shows up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Who I didn't even remember, and I just saw the other movie like a week ago. I was like, "Who's this guy?"
And
that's just more about me, though, I guess.
And so they were talking about a groundbreaking ceremony, and Mr. Darcy's like, hey, my assistant Brandon, get the car and go get Elizabeth. And Harry's like, did you ask Elizabeth if she wanted to come? He's like, you know, you can't just assume that she's going to want to do the same things that you want to do. And you got to kind of like take her needs into play. And, you know, you can't make decisions for her. You got to ask her.
Right. Yeah. Mr. Darcy is a little blockheaded.
Like he's alpha man. He's like an alpha man.
Yeah, I guess so. He wants to tell his woman what to do. And this
Lizzie's
other guy
not having it.
Right. No, she would not have it. That's what they're predicting.
And then we have a scene with Zara. She's speaking to the little dog in French.
Mm-hmm. The dog does the dog understand her?
Yes, he does.
Okay. He does. He understands her.
And then Zara asks Donovan, Mr. Darcy, if she could go to a school program in Montreal.
Right. And he says, no.
Right. And then I have here, Aunt Violet comes over and shit talks to Zara.
Ooh. Yeah, that's right.
Like she totally
Yeah.
Oh, and I have Aunt Violet had a cute little outfit. She's wearing a white blazer, a black turtleneck, and black jeans. And it was very cute.
Okay. Aunt Violet goes, she's like, I wish it was, sorry, that's my cat. She's a big Hallmark fan herself. Now, Aunt Violet is saying, okay, over there. She's like, that's our studio audience. She's like, I wish it had been the princess. I wish it had been the cat. I wish it had been this one. I'm distracted. That's like a three-ring circus here. All right, kitty, that's enough. All right. Okay, all right, I'm back on track. So, they're out at a rooftop lounge.
Right. And
that's where this is happening. And it's time to dance.
Right.
They start playing some music. They start to dance. And that's where Aunt Violet arrives with a look of mixed emotion on her face. She doesn't know if she's happy about this or not. We don't know. We have no idea what's happening in the mind of Aunt Violet.
But
Aunt Violet is like the weak antagonist in this movie. Like she's kind of antagonist, but she doesn't make a whole lot of an impact.
Right. So Aunt Violet brings a gift, and it is Donovan's grandmother's necklace.
Right. She went out to the cemetery the night before and dug into the grave and and got the necklace off the grandmother, and she brought it back.
And then Aunt Violet offers her services that she
wants to help plan
this wedding, which having just had a ceremony, I say if someone is willing to help you plan, you take them up on it.
I say Aunt Violet is being controlling. That's what she's up to.
Really? See, I think she's being helpful.
And I guess so.
I think she's being helpful, and also Aunt Violet has no children of her own, so this is the closest she's going to get to planning a wedding for someone.
All right. I'm just under the assumption that Violet is actually evil.
Well, okay. That too.
Yeah. The evil little Aunt Violet.
So then this is where Lizzie says she wants a small, simple wedding.
Yeah, she wants a garden wedding.
Right.
I want a garden wedding. Doesn't she announce that to her mom and her sister? Like a garden wedding. Ooh, that's a garden. Yes.
And her mom gives Lizzie a wedding planner.
Yeah.
But in the next scene, we see Donovan and we see Lizzie, and Aunt Violet shows up and she's like, guess what? I have booked the Manhattan Grace Church. There's normally a one-year waiting list, but with my connections, I have bucked the line, and I got us in, and I put Aunt Violet get shit done.
Yeah, she does. Now they have to get married in 2 months.
Right.
They got to get married in June, 2 months. They got to get this underway.
Right.
They need to do it.
Aunt Violet is going to be a bridezilla or an auntzilla.
Oh, an auntzilla. Now, I believe that the audience for this movie are people who are planning weddings. Right. I don't know how else you would have interest in this.
Because this is June weddings month on the Hallmark Channel. Remember.
Yeah. But not much conflict in this so far. We'll see. Anyway, you'll see what I mean as we go along. Now, I also wrote that Elizabeth's mom is unstable because she keeps crying.
Where did you went through that scene? Child getting married.
I'm like a devil's advocate here. Okay. Now they're walking a dog. Boy, I said this woman. I named this woman Jocelyn. She's not Jocelyn. She's Gabrielle.
Gabrielle.
I renamed her. I renamed her. Yeah, she's walking with Gabrielle.
And they're talking about how like they don't have a lot of time, but they're going to do this.
Oh, and then she invites Gabrielle to go to the church, to go to Grace Church. And Gabrielle accepts because she's nosy and she has nothing else to do.
So they all go. So I have here Donovan and Lizzie are having dinner at a Red Lantern restaurant. And they're talking about Donovan's foundation because Donovan not only runs Darcy Enterprises, he also has a foundation as well where he helps poor kids.
Yeah. And she's trying to encourage him to work at the foundation. Isn't that right? To work like full time?
Okay. Right. But he says, you know, there's always a Darcy running Darcy Enterprises, and since right now he's the only Darcy of age until his sister, you know, gets a little older, he's it.
Yes.
You've got to work at Darcy Enterprises.
Okay. Also at the Red Lantern, Elizabeth knows the waiter, and she knows she's asked him about Oliver. I thought maybe Oliver was his lover, but I was not so lucky.
Oliver's
his dog.
Was his dog. But
yes.
I mean, this proves, though, that Elizabeth is personable. Like, you know, she knows the people at, you know, the bakery. She knows the staff at all various restaurants around town.
That's good.
So she's being, she's personable. She's made New York her home.
Nobody's spitting in her food.
Yes.
That's good.
So.
Good.
We get to the Manhattan Church.
Uh-oh.
And it's fabulous.
Now I have. You like it?
Yes.
What was the denomination? Did they ever mention what it was?
No, but I would probably say it's probably like Episcopalian or something.
Yeah,
they're
something Protestant. Right. We're appealing to the Midwest here. It's got, you know.
They're waspy, so
some
it's probably
broad,
Episcopalian. You know,
some broad Protestant.
My husband's waspy, and he's Anglican.
Oh, your actual husband.
Yes, my legit husband is a wasp. And he's goes to an Anglican church.
Okay. Anglican church.
Yes.
Have you gone with him to church?
I have.
Okay.
I have. But I grew up Catholic, so.
Oh. I did too, actually.
So it's a little different.
Yeah. I have. So the whole gang is at the church. I think the sister, the mom. I have. I wrote in my notes. Mom gives bad line readings. I'm not impressed with her delivery.
Oh.
I am very critical.
So mom needs to visit the coach, huh?
She needs to take some classes at HB Studios. I am like the Pauline Kael of Hallmark films. I am just. yes. So anyway, they're trying to make it intimate, but this is a lost cause. They're trying to make a little garden wedding in a big church. So they think, well, why don't we bring in some shrubbery and some things like that and try to make it look like it's a smaller space? Not a good idea.
And I'm thinking, and this is one part where I'm thinking, she's being kind of jerky, because to get a space like this, it's probably almost impossible to get. And, you know, you could take the space and do what you want with it.
Yes. I totally understand what you're talking about now. When you say that Elizabeth is kind of rude in this movie. Yes. Yeah. She's not grateful for what she's getting.
No. And P.S., he says he wants to pay for it, so she has like an unlimited budget. She can do whatever she wants. And she's being like a brat.
She wants some smaller part. That's right. She's not happy with anything.
Right.
Suck it up, Elizabeth. You've got opportunity here.
Suck it up, Buttercup. You've got an unlimited budget. Shut up.
Were you angry? Did this movie make you angry? Because on that level, I didn't. I guess there were people probably watching this movie. They're just angry at her. Like, what are you doing?
I did get annoyed only because I'm
angry.
I went through this like a month ago.
Yeah.
And budget is a big thing. So to have an unlimited budget and have all of these resources at your disposal and you bitch about it, it's like, yeah, that does get kind of annoying. You know?
I want everybody to just yell out. Everybody would just watch this movie and yell, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. All right. That line reading was pretty good. So, okay. Okay, so here we go. Now they're in a coffee shop and they're eating macaroons.
Right.
Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Macaroons. Macaroons. Yes.
I like macaroons. I'm a fan. I thought he was arrogant. I think it's actually I wrote arrogant. I may have wrote annoying. So yes, he was arrogant at this part. I don't know why. That's what I thought at the time. Oh, they were going to have tea right. with Aunt Violet.
Right. And then Aunt Violet. Yeah, says that she has the guest list at 400 on Donovan's side.
Yeah, she can't cut anyone.
Can't cut anyone.
Nope.
Because they're all important family friends, which I get.
Yeah, how many were at your wedding?
150.
Okay. Did you have to make, I mean, I don't know if these people are listening, if you want to say.
I didn't have to make cuts, but I did have a limit.
Okay.
Well, I mean, because there were more people that I wanted to invite, but I had a limit. But we did ours at my friend's. My friend has like this beautiful house with this like amazing yard. It was in the Hancock Park area of town, which if you don't live in L.A., that's a very swanky area of L.A. It's like where the mayor lived. Like, they live near the mayor.
Oh, okay.
But part of it, out of respect, was like, since it wasn't my house, you know.
Right.
I had to kind of watch it with how many people, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's good. You did not have the unlimited resources that Elizabeth marrying Mr. Darcy had.
I did not have the unlimited financial resources either.
There were times with the ceremony when you wished you were Elizabeth, or at least were in her position.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, of course.
So
now Elizabeth, who's unemployed, she goes to Mr. Darcy, who doesn't have a real job either. He just sort of has a found because he's rich. She walks into his work. Oh, that's why I wrote in quotes, work, because it's really work. Is he getting a paycheck? She said she thought the wedding was going to be more like 30 people and some dogs.
And I have here 30 people and like 10 question marks after it.
These people are bad Protestants, by the way. I mean, don't they have shouldn't they have a Protestant work ethic? Don't they feel guilty for not... Anyway, okay, so what did you say again? I'm sorry, I was lost in my own thoughts.
I was like, I put 30 people, question mark, question mark, question mark. Just to know.
That's over-pronunciation. Enunciation. Yes, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because the thing is, like, she was actually, once again, she's kind of bratty about it.
Yes. Yes, because that's really low compared to 400.
Right, and I put here...
For those you don't know, 30 is less than 400.
And my notes under this was, he's going to pay for this. What is your goddamn problem? He's rich, and he's paying.
Yeah. Yeah, so shut up. So then they negotiate obnoxiously. There's a little cute little negotiating scene. And they end up saying, all right, 150 guests.
Which is what I had at mine.
Oh, okay.
150.
That works out well. So that's somewhat reasonable. Although it's much closer to her number than his. So he's being very kind.
Very kind, now, actually.
I thought I wrote Amadeus, but actually it says Academy. She hears from the gentleman at this Academy, and he said that, you know, she's in the running. She's in the running to be a teacher again, because it's completely – they don't mention it in this movie, but in the last movie she was disgraced. Somebody framed her. They said she was trying to bribe – taking bribes or something like that. Now she's back on the saddle.
Right.
As Gabriella says, new job, new husband, new life.
Yes. I think they go to Lizzie's mom's shop in Washington, D.C., and Aunt back Violet and comes along, too.
These folks are back and forth on the I-95.
Right.
Violet comes.
Aunt Violet comes and she looks at Lizzie's mom and she's like, hello, Linda.
Hello, Linda. I am the old woman from Titanic. Gloria Stewart? No, not that old.
And so they're looking. So Linda is showing them dresses.
Yeah.
And Lizzie doesn't like the first two dresses, but she likes the third. But
the plain one.
Aunt Violet gives the dress the stink eye.
Oh, yeah. Off the rack?
Right. Aunt Violet is like, that off the rack dress will not do.
Off the rack? Now,
I agree with Aunt Violet, because once again, if these people are willing to pay for her wedding dress, the sky is the limit. And P.S., your mother owns a bridal shop. Come on.
Yeah. Boy. Now, okay, let me see if I know this, because I don't know a lot about fashion or dresses. Does off the rack, does that mean, is that as opposed to having a dress specifically designed for you? Okay.
Exactly.
Do most women get off the rack then? Because I would imagine it would be very expensive to have a dress specifically designed.
Most women with average paychecks, you kind of have to get off the rack.
Yeah, that's a lot. But that's what Aunt Violet does. She's very much opposed to off the rack.
Exactly.
Might as well get your dress at TJ Maxx. You won't be having this.
Oh, but then Aunt Violet knows people. So Aunt Violet is like, I am going to call Mariana Morell. She is a famous fashion designer.
Yeah.
And even Lizzie's mom is like, are you kidding? She's going to call Mariana Morell? You've got to do this, Lizzie. Don't be a dumbass.
She's on board. I like this, yeah.
So Aunt Violet calls and gets an appointment with Mariana Morell. But then Jenna, Lizzie's sister, pulls her aside and says, okay, you know what, Lizzie? Just get the dress you want. Don't let them bully you into getting a custom-made couture dress.
Right. Don't let them. Don't let them talk you into them doing something nice for you.
A couture dress.
I don't know what couture is, but I'll tell you. Did you like? Okay, what is it?
Couture is like, you know, custom-made, basically, you know.
Couture. It's couturable. What did you think of the dress that Elizabeth liked?
I did not like it. I actually liked the first two.
Okay. I have no opinion because I have no no dress taste. You won't be seeing me on Say Yes to the Dress.
So then Lizzie says, okay, I'll compromise. I'll take a look. I'll go to the meeting, and I'll look at what she has to offer, but I get the final say.
Yeah. That's right. Oh. Okay, so yeah.
Donovan, yeah. Meanwhile, Donovan, for the foundation, Donovan made Lizzie a member of the board.
Yes, and she just discovers it, and she has to leave immediately to go to the board meeting. Fantastic.
Which, okay, I'm on two sides of this. A, I do kind of, I get why she'd be annoyed that he did it without asking, but at the same token, I don't think she should be so jerky about it, because that, I think, is a very nice thing to do.
Yes, yes, yeah. She's really giving him a hard time.
And he's basically, he's making an effort to include her in his life. Right. I see.
Elizabeth, why aren't you more appreciative? Yeah, sprung it on her, and she has to go out and be a member of the board.
So I get why she's annoyed, because I would have liked, you know, I would have liked for it to be discussed with me, but at the same token, don't throw a hissy fit either, because there's a very nice thing for him to do.
Yes. So they go to the meeting, and it's this big, long table. It's like a conference room you see in an office building, and they're all around there, and it's the usual the usual gang of idiots. It's Mr. Darcy and Violet on the panel. Henry is there, right? There's an old dude. An old dude's at the head of the table. And they say, what is your area of interest? And Mr. Darcy's looking at her with a big smile on her face, even though she's fumbling away, has no idea what to say.
And then she's like, you know, I don't know. She's like, I teach ninth graders, so I can treat you guys like I treat my class. And this is all new to me. And Aunt Violet was just beside herself.
Yes, let me give you a word of advice. You called them ninth graders? Insult them? And then she said, you will not be teaching. Your job is to stay home and clean the tiles.
Basically.
Yeah, she has to stay home. You won't be doing that. Yay! And I said, yay, Aunt Violet needs to teach her.
Because, yes, Aunt Violet said, being Mrs. Donovan Darcy is a full-time position.
Clean those tiles, Elizabeth. You do it.
But she went to Donovan, and Donovan said, you know what? If you want to teach, you can teach.
Oh, what a pushover. Need the money, Donovan? Yeah, he wants her out of the house sometimes. I don't blame him.
And so then Donovan is talking to Aunt Violet, basically telling her to chill out. And Aunt Violet's like, you know what? You can't always have it all. And then, okay, this is when I started to soften to Aunt Violet a little bit. Because we find out Aunt Violet was in Paris, living her life, having a great time. And when Donovan's parents were killed, she came back to the States and gave up her lovely Parisian life to take care of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I like angry and bitter Aunt Violet.
But think about it. You know, she probably left a man back there.
Leave a man.
Paris, I love Paris. I could see why she's a little resentful.
I liked her to begin with. So I like anybody.
Right. So we find it, but then long story short,
I think I heard her.
Donovan tells Violet, if she wants to keep on teaching, let her teach.
Yes. That did happen. So then I have something about now she's doing something with a dog.
The dog is ready for to be shown at the dog.
She's brushing a dog. Yeah. Yes. For those of you who haven't seen Unleashing Mr. Darcy, much of that movie had to do with dog shows. So we touch upon that in this sequel. And Mom arrives. Mom surprises. As I say, the I-95. If you wondered why traffic is moving slow, it's because these people were driving up and down I-95 throughout this whole movie. So here comes Mom from Washington, and the sister, because she also has no purpose. And the dorky boyfriend Henry is also there.
Right, and they have an appointment with Mariana Morell.
Oh yeah. That's right. Oh, and I wrote that she's hot.
Who, Jetta?
No. I find the designer
Mariana Morell.
Yes, I do. Yeah. That's kind of like the woman I've gone for in the past.
Ah. So Mariana Morell is showing sketches.
I like a woman who shows sketches.
The sketches look great.
Mm-hmm.
But Jetta is like, yeah, but Lizzie, is it you? And Lizzie's annoyed.
Yeah. Heck of a damn dress, Elizabeth.
And
it's me.
And she's having doubts.
Yes.
So then we cut to the scene. So Jax is getting trained, and then Linus the manservant makes an appearance. Linus the manservant makes an appearance.
Yeah, what was he doing?
He was there when Aunt Violet comes over.
Oh yes, I have walk the dog around.
Right.
Violet, something serious to this disastrous is happening. Oh yes, She can't get it below. She can't get 100. 200 guests. She just can't do it. She can't cut any more people.
Right. And Elizabeth is like, but I want it at 150.
I want 150. She gets nothing she wants.
Right.
Violet reserved. Violet also reserved the venue for the reception without discussing with anyone. But that's okay.
And then we go to the cake tasting, and Aunt Violet hires this famous pastry chef.
Yes. Oh, but right before that, we see that Darcy is starting to planning a honeymoon. That's a major plot point we don't want to skip over.
Right.
He's in the office. He's starting to do this. He's saying, oh, you know, Elizabeth is giving up a lot, so I'm going to start planning some giant honeymoon. And meanwhile, he's away from her the whole time while he's planning this honeymoon.
Oh, but let's also get to this. Yes. I have here for the cake tasting, everybody liked the cake except for Lizzie.
Yes. Well, this scene was ridiculous to me. It went on. This is what I'm saying, that I guess this movie is made for people who are planning weddings so they can sort of see what – it's like a how-to how-to thing. It's like, okay, this is what you do. You go and you test cakes, because we took a long time with these people eating all these cakes.
Right.
So, Mr. Darcy is supposed to be there, but he's stuck in traffic, so he cannot get there. And that's why Elizabeth is pissed off.
Right.
So they sit there and they eat cake.
Lizzie's feeling overwhelmed. Donovan comforts her.
Yeah.
And then they pick a vanilla buttercream cake, the one that Lizzie likes. And then Lizzie gets a phone call from the principal.
Yes, at the academy. Yes, I have to too. Says call from the principal.
And she got the job.
Offered a job, despite her disgracement from the last movie. She explained how a student changed her.
Yes.
That's why she got hired. She didn't change a student changed her. You're hired.
So then, they're at the florist now. They're very serious. Lizzie wanted buttercups. Aunt Violet threw shade at her.
Yeah. She doesn't like it.
Because Aunt Violet says there should be white lilacs.
Right. But Elizabeth kind... Oh, the mom is there too. Giving bad line readings. You know, because I'm Olivier. And then Elizabeth, she kind of wins because she says, well, I like buttercups because that's what Dad and I used to do. We used to make buttercups.
Throw in the dead dad. Make, you always
we used to make. We used to make buttercups in the middle of the night. They're coming to get you, Barbara. So that's very exciting. So, yes, so Aunt Violet can't say anything about that.
Right. Aunt Violet's like, I don't want to look like an asshole.
No, but I'm going to look like a real douchebag now. You're pulling out that card.
Right.
Well done, Elizabeth. But hey, I lost this one.
Exactly. So then they're checking out the hotel.
There?
I have here, they're checking out a hotel.
Okay.
And then Lizzie just loses her shit and tells Aunt Violet, you need to stop second-guessing. You need to back off and stop second-guessing me and have a few seats, bitch.
Oh, man, does she? Where do I have this? Oh, yeah, I have it. Yeah, they dance eloquently and boringly. Oh. And then someone is calling him, although he doesn't have a real job. And this, what? Okay. Oh yeah, yeah. Then I get to the point where she tells Aunt Violet what she wants.
Yeah, you better back the fuck up.
How does Aunt Violet react to that? What does she do?
Oh, Aunt Violet is like impressed.
Oh, damn it.
And she's walks got away that. And Aunt Violet is like, well done.
Well done, you stood up to me. Well, why are you being a pain in the ass? I wanted to stand up to you. The point is you stood up to me. Oh, great. Yeah, those people are wonderful. Those people do exist. Now she's home with Zara.
Zara's very upset.
She can't go to Montreal.
Can't go to Montreal. And Lizzie's like, you know what? I'll talk to him. I'll wear him down.
Montreal is quite a city. It's a beautiful city.
I know.
So I'm with Zara. I'm with Zara on that.
Oh, no, me too.
A lot of attractive people just walking around.
Oh, no, I love Montreal.
Just walking around. Yes, now... someone is pouring someone a drink. I don't, someone whose name is begin with L. Maybe it's Linus?
Uh-huh.
Someone's pouring someone a drink. I have that written down in a dark apartment. It's working late. Oh, and now it's time for the groundbreaking. Oh, yes. Now we're outside. And there's a groundbreaking. I don't know if you're interested in these kind of questions, but it's a production question. So it's raining. It's raining in the scene. Do you think they planned on rain, or you just think it happened to be raining that day and they had to shoot anyway?
I think it happened to be raining because they're probably in Vancouver, and so they had to shoot anyway.
A little sideline. There's a hilarious scene. I think it's hilarious, and the TV show damages.
Uh huh.
Damages is there's a little scene of a cookout, and it's raining while the cookout is going on. The guy has an umbrella. He's like, well, it's kind of – this won't stop me from having a cookout. I was like, how ridiculous. It's like they had to shoot. They obviously had to shoot. Anyway, that's my little side story.
Oh.
Mr. Darcy. Okay.
So, yes. Lizzie is like, you should do the foundation part-time. She says that again, and Aunt Violet is not happy about that.
Full time, right? Or part time or full time?
Full time.
What's he supposed to do?
You should do it full time.
Full time, yeah. Do it full time. I want you around the house. Yeah, there's a bunch of kids who are there at the groundbreaking. They can't force the. That's okay. That's right. That's right. They have this discussion at the groundbreaking. Oh yes, Aunt Violet, you're correct. She's mad.
And then the board member who was at the other board meeting where Lizzie got yelled at for calling them ninth graders, basically pulls Lizzie aside and says, I loved your speech. I thought it was great, and my wife thought it was funny.
Yeah, they liked it. So Aunt Violet's wrong. I loved it.
He wanted his dog to have a play date with their dog.
Oh, man. This Elizabeth's working her way in. She's a big hit.
So now. She's kind of upset because he's working a
lot. Didn't pause.
She's upset because he's working a lot. But the reason why he's working a lot
right.
So he could have time for them to go on their extended honeymoon.
Yeah, he's planning. But I thought that, you know, he should just... All right, anyway.
And then...
She doesn't know why he's out.
Right. And she's thinking he's working too much, but there's a reason why he's working too much for her.
Yes, that's why he should just probably be honest and just tell her what's going on, because she just thinks he's avoiding her. Right. He's pulling away.
And
he's pulling it.
Yeah, she tells Jenna he's pulling away. And yes. Jenna is like, oh, come on, don't be dumb. He adores you.
It's like Christopher Reeve at the end of Somewhere also, in Time.
She also tells him, you really need to let Zara go to Montreal.
Yeah, because she needs the house to herself.
Oh, so then we cut to Lizzie in her wedding dress. And the wedding dress is actually fabulous. And everyone...
It is, even... Yes.
I was going to say, everyone loves the wedding dress. Everyone.
Yes, Aunt Violet. Everyone. She's floored.
Except for her. Except for Lizzie.
Absolutely. No, she doesn't. She's like...
She says, it
doesn't look... I have... It doesn't look like me. And then my comment is, so what?
Right.
And look...
That's so funny that you say that, because in my notes, I wrote, what is your problem?
Right. Listen, you wear something, and it's still going to look like you.
Right.
What are you going to wear? Like if you put on a beekeeper's mask or something like that, or like a Freddy Krueger mask, then it might not look like you. It might look like Freddy Krueger. But if your face is showing... It still looks like it's still you in the outfit. That's my wedding dress tip.
This is a couture gown. This dress was made for you.
I wore a dress. It was couture. It made me look very mature. Yes, so wear the stupid dress and shut up.
Exactly.
They do call me charming, by the way. They don't and just then, throw the...
Then I have her, she's all whiny, and she's like, she's being upset, and she's like, you know what, I thought I was marrying him, not his work. She's like crying to her sister.
Mm.
And everybody's sad, she's sad, the dog's sad, and...
Yeah, I'm not going to do too well myself.
And she basically is just being really bratty. And she says, I need time to myself.
And she can have it. Because she meets with Don. Was that before or after? She meets with Donovan, and they say like they need like – oh, and she actually suggests to him, Donovan, Mr. Darcy, I say. She said, we could elope. Now, I thought his head was going to explode at this point. Like, excuse me?
Right.
Like, you're telling me you want to elope? What? So what? But he plays it cool.
Right. This guy has the patience of a saint.
Boy. Oh, my God. He needs it with this woman. Good for him. He comes off well in this movie.
He really does.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. She thinks he's marrying his work. Well, his work, he's got a foundation. Okay.
And he's running two companies, basically.
It's his own like foundations and charities that I don't think he gets money for this. Like, he pays for it.
Not one company, two.
What is wrong with people?
So she's in bed crying, and then we see Jenna and Henry, and Henry they're talking, and Henry's like, "Listen, Jenna, tell your bonehead sister." He's working overtime for her.
Great. I love your outlook on this movie. They should have said that.
I'm getting annoyed with her.
Somebody's got to say something that upsets somebody in one of these movies. Someone has to say the wrong thing. Your sister's a bonehead. Excuse what? Deal with it. But no, everybody's, you know. Okay, so she's in the bed and she's crying like a big baby. Now someone's banging on the door. Oh, he's banging on the door, but they won't let him in. I have all the nosy women come downstairs. Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. Because they're all like, what's going on? What's happening? Is the wedding off? Please, keep us in the loop here. We need to know.
And then Aunt Violet goes over to console him, but then yeah. Aunt Violet goes to see Lizzie. And Aunt Violet, once again, is wearing a very cute outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes over, she talks to Lizzie, and she's like, you know, I'm sorry for being pushy, but Donovan is the closest thing to a son that I have. And you know what? I worry that you weren't strong enough for him, but you're standing up to me. You stood up to me, and that impressed me.
Yeah. Yep. And she said, you two will make a wonderful team.
Then we see Lizzie's mom. And Lizzie's mom says to Lizzie, do you think that you could live the rest of your life without him?
I'm surprised Lizzie's mom could convince her of something with that. Oh, well. I was going to make a joke, but it ruined it. I was going to say she does not have a convincing line reading. Well. Anyway, that's what I get. So her mom stops by, and she says, you don't have to get married. Well, you do, because how else you're going to get married. No, anyway, yeah, she doesn't, you know, have to get married. And he asked Mr. Darcy. Mr. Darcy asked to talk to her at their spot in the park. He's waiting in the park. And she comes by. And he tells her that he wanted to surprise her with a 1 month around the world honeymoon.
And now she should feel like an asshole.
Oh, you're worse than me in this thing.
She should.
You really are. I thought I'd give this a hard time. I'm purposely giving it a hard time. You're even worse than me.
And I liked the movie. I liked the movie.
You did, isn't? There's no montages.
But I liked it. I liked the movie. Because at this point, since it was a sequel, they were like my friends at this point.
Oh, come on. I don't even know what to say about that. I have to think about that tonight. Listen, I don't think it works in a sequel. Like, wouldn't they have like the incredible reveals of these people in the beginning, like where they left off? I don't know. It doesn't even seem like a sequel. It doesn't feel like it.
Oh, so then Liz and Donovan talk, and Liz admits neither one of us is wrong for wanting what we want, which she's right about that. She's right. I give her that.
Okay. Yeah.
And Donovan is like, well, can't we have it all?
Get ready for something dumb.
Okay. So Donovan,
they have ideas.
Then Donovan tells her he decided to work with the foundation. Right. And Liz then says, you know what, Donovan? We stopped communicating. I never told you how important a small wedding was to me. And then Donovan is like, but I...
Yeah, that would have helped if she did that.
But then Donovan's like, well, you know, I want a big wedding, and I know a lot of people, and a lot of these people are family friends, and, you know, I've been friends with a lot of these people for generations. I can't just not invite them.
Right. So they make a really wacky compromise.
Yes. So we see, first, we see, like, a little wedding, ding 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 ding, and they're at the Red Lantern place, and we see the black couple from the bakery and all of their friend, like their neighborhood friends. Yeah. But then we cut to a big giant church wedding in the Manhattan Cathedral, and all of society is there.
Oh, she's wearing two different dresses too. The first one she's wearing, she's wearing the
And she wore the designer dress, and then she wore the simple dress.
Yeah, and everybody has to. I guess these two weddings presumably were held on the same day, so that they saved one date. So they had to go to one wedding and then go. If someone I knew was getting married, they told me, I'm having two weddings in one day. I said, are you kidding me?
But then if they explain the reason, both. Having been what I just went through, if they'd explain it, then I'd be like, okay, I get it.
If they explained it?
Having gone through a planning a wedding type thing, and they explained this is why we're doing this. I'd be like, okay, I totally get it, 100%.
What do I know? Maybe it works. Maybe this works for these people.
Well, if you had unlimited resources.
Unlimited resources, you could get married twice. I think she should have waited until her second marriage, and then she could have had then she would reasonably have the small wedding. And the third marriage, that would be the City Hall one. Las Vegas Wedding Chapel, where an Elvis impersonator marries her.
Exactly.
I want to see that movie.
Oh, so then they have two weddings. Yeah. The end.
Oh, boy. That was abrupt. Because
that's what happened. Yeah, they had two weddings and then it ended.
Yeah, well, you just say the end. It's like, wow, that just cuts everything off. As a sequel, I think this should have been more like The Godfather Part 2. We could have seen the early years of Aunt Violet in Paris. You'd like that. And that could have been edited in with a current story.
Right. I think marrying Mr. Darcy Part 3, Aunt Violet should have a man.
And a younger man. What's called a May-December romance.
Right.
Because I think she could do it. I think she could pull it off.
I know. She totally could pull it off. I thought Aunt Violet, she was an attractive older woman.
Yeah, I actually kind of – remember I was talking about making a Harold and Maude remake with her when I was watching the first movie.
Oh, no. And Violet could totally pull it off. And then plus she's got like
– Harold.
She's like – you know, she's like spunky as well.
She's got that Titanic money. Right. I like it.
Seriously.
She was on Eight is Enough? What was the show she was on?
No, she was on Titanic. And then I remember her back when she was on The Guiding Light.
Oh.
She played – she was on The Guiding Light. And she played Suzette Saxon.
Suzette Saxon.
Yes. On The Guiding Light.
Okay.
Back in the 80s.
All right.
And then she was married to Clint Eastwood.
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
For a couple of years.
Sandra Locke.
Huh? Yeah, she has like a kid by him.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's...
Did your research on him, Violet?
She's been around. Oh, my God. Okay, and then so there are these stairs. There are these stairs in L.A. called the Santa Monica Stairs.
Yeah.
And there's stairs near the ocean, and they're really steep, and people go working out on them. And so this friend of mine, Steve, was walking with a friend of his, and they were doing the stairs. And Frances Fisher and I guess her assistant or a friend of hers were doing the stairs. And my friend goes, oh, look, there's Frances Farmer.
Oh.
And the assistant turns to him and goes, Fisher.
Oh. Snappy assistant. Well, Frances Farmer, kind of a big difference.
Huge difference.
For those of you who don't know, Frances Farmer was the basis of the movie Frances, starring Jessica Lange, out in 1982, I believe, or 81. I think it was 82.
Well, anyway,
she was nominated for an Oscar. Yes.
I got to get going because I got to catch a jet.
All right.
But listen, I want to let our listeners know we have a bonus episode coming up in the next week. We, Kurt and I, are actually going to talk to the writers of Marrying Mr. Darcy.
That's right. I hope they don't listen to our podcast.
So, I actually...
Although
I have some questions for them. Maybe we can ask, will there be like a sequel with, you know, Aunt Violet meeting a man?
Yeah. Should we just give that idea? I guess we just did give it away. So I guess never mind.
Well, okay. I mean, it's their characters anyway.
Yeah, it's true. We say, here's what you could do with Aunt Violet. You can have this. But, we want to see it.
But I'm getting excited. Her young, this is like our first like celebrity, our Hallmark celebrity interview.
No, it's very exciting. I hope they I hope they have a sense of humor. I might pitch myself as the younger lover of Aunt Violet in this movie. I think that's what people. Well, I don't know if it's what people want to see, but it's definitely something where I could earn money.
Right, exactly.
that's my pitch.
And an IMDb credit.
Yeah.
This could be your 2018 IMDb credit.
I like it. You're going to help me with this pitch.
Right, and then won't your IMDb rating go up?
I don't know. Yes, of course it would.
You could make your SAG insurance benefits. Because I did something.
Oh, thank God. This is great. These people better help hook me up.
Yeah, you could get your benefits for the year. Anywho, Kurt, I gotta go pack a bag. Pack a bunch of fringe postcards into a suitcase.
Have great shows.
And haul my ass across the country.
Portland, Maine. Everybody in Portland, Maine, go see Les Kirkendall.
Yes, everyone in Portland, Maine, come and see Walking While Black in Moscow at the Port Fringe at the Mechanics Hall, www.portfringe.com.
Do it! I saw the show myself. It's great.
Oh, that's right. And Kurt, so I will talk to you. So next time I talk to you, I will actually be on your time zone.
Oh,
and we will be talking to the writers of the Darcy movie.
All right, I will prepare accordingly.
All right, I'll talk to you in a couple of days.
See you soon.
Bye.